ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 24 न न पुरो जनपदा न ग्रामा न गृहा वयम् वनौकसा तात नित्यम् वनशैलनिवासिनः न नः पुरोजनपदा न ग्रामा न गृहा वयम् वनौकसस्तात नित्यम् वनशैलनिवासिनः न नः पुरोजनपदा न ग्रामा न गृहा वयम् वनौकसस्तात नित्यम् वनशैलनिवासिनः। जनपदा डेवलप्ड इनहैबिटेड एरिया न नॉट ग्रामा विलेजेस न नॉट griha, living in permanent homes. Vayam, we. Vanokasa, dwelling in the forest. Tata, my dear father. Nityam, always. Vana, in the forest. Shaila, and on the hills. Nivasina, living. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: my dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Purport. Lord Krishna here points out that the residents of Vrindavan should recognize their relationship with Govardhan Hill and with the forest of Vrindavan and not worry about a distant demigod like Indra. Having concluded his argument, Lord Krishna makes a radical proposal in the following verse, which will be taken on Tuesday. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanyam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sya Nama Om Vishnupadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyade Shatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa taru bhyasya kripa sindhu vyayavacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasari gaur bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again. My dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. So before we begin speaking on this particular verse, just give a prelude, a recap of what's happening till now. In the previous chapters, before this chapter opened up, the chapter about Govardhan Hill, we find Lord Krishna and his cowherd friends visiting the place where the Brahmanas are performing yajna. And then the whole episode turns out that how Lord Krishna reveals to the whole world the glory of the devotion of the wives of the Brahmanas. So, in that particular chapter, Krishna is teaching a lesson that how devotion is very important compared to rituals of sacrifice. So these Brahmanas, they have learned their lesson. Even though Acharyas mentioned that they could not go to actually go to, they could not personally go to meet Krishna and beg forgiveness, in their hearts they ask for forgiveness. The reason being that they were afraid of Kamsa. It is mentioned in the Vraj Mandal Parikrama book that this place where this pastime happened is called as Bhatarol, and it happens to be very close to Akrura Ghat in Vrindavan, and it is mentioned it is the outskirts of Vrindavan. So as per the local authorities in Vrindavan, they mentioned that Kamsa's palace was such a huge palace that it would extend till the outskirts of Vrindavan. So the Brahmanas were staying very close to Kamsa's palace. So they were very afraid. What if Kamsa comes to know that we had gone to Krishna and begged forgiveness? So these Brahmanas were all employed by Kamsa for his yagya. So therefore they learned a lesson, but they could not go ahead and personally meet Krishna. Anyways, they learned the lesson. So now Krishna has taught a very wonderful lesson that how devotion is very important than all his yagyas and all his sacrifices. And then Krishna comes to his own house and sees Nanda Maharaj ready to perform a yagya. So that is more disturbing to Krishna, that just now I taught a lesson to this yagyic brahmanas, and now I am seeing my own father, who is a pure devotee, he is doing some new yagya, or certain yagya is going on. So that brings Krishna a little, he becomes amused. Rather, it is mentioned that Krishna decides to do something now, little serious. So he has already done a serious task previously by teaching the Brahmana lesson, but he also wants to now teach a lesson. So he is going to teach a lesson, but he is not going to teach a lesson to Nanda Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada says in one of his lectures about when speaking on Govardhan Puja, that Krishna is teaching a lesson here not to Nanda Maharaj but to Indra. Because Nanda Maharaj does not require lessons. Indra requires definitely lessons. He has become very proud. So Krishna is now going to teach a lesson through the whole episode to Indra, who has become very proud. And especially he is very proud in accepting puja and worship from Krishna's father, knowing well that Krishna has appeared as Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, and yet Indra is daring to take worship from his father, who is more worshipable for Indra. So Krishna wants to teach a lesson to Indra. However, we find here that the series of verses which Krishna is speaking now, and today is the conclusion of that verse, the arguments which Krishna puts. The amazing part of the argument and logic is that Krishna is so expert, he can drive any point, he can actually drive his own point through any argument. We find through many scriptures that how Krishna or his various incarnations are very expert in logic, argument, debate. We find a very wonderful example in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Nimai. He was an expert debater, expert logician. When he argued, everyone would keep quiet. So when Keshav Kashmiri, he came, the Digvijay Pandit. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Nimai, he heard the whole poetic version of Ganges. And then Lord Nimai just put one argument. This is something wrong here, you know. And that's it, just one argument, and Keshav Kashmiri was flat. The Digvijay Pandit had found his match. So he was expert in putting arguments. It is found that in Chaitanya Charitamrita that as Nimaya Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also go and debate and argue with devotees. And therefore Murari Gupta and Radhadhar Pandit, they were afraid of Nimaya Pandit. They would try to run away as soon as they would see Nimaya coming from the road on the opposite side. Why? Because Nimaya would catch them and argue with them. And Lord Nimai was so expert in argument that he would put an argument and tell them, please defeat this argument. And when they could not defeat the argument, then Lord Nimai would defeat his argument. And then after that, he would re-defeat this argument, which he had used to defeat the first argument. And then he would re-defeat the fourth argument to prove the first. So in this way, he would confuse everyone. And that was his expert in giving argument and logic. So Krishna is here, the source of all incarnations, cause of all causes. He is also having his argument. The amazing part of the argument which Krishna is giving here is he is using two distorted philosophies, which has nothing to do with Vedas, as his argument. Now, Krishna is Vedasya Sarvar, Ahameva Vedyo, Vedanta Krita Veda Videhacham. He is the revealer of Vedas. From him, from Vedas, he is to be known. The same person is using non-Vedic arguments. So that is the most amazing part, that Krishna can use any philosophy to prove his point. So we can see that the amazing non-conventional or unconventional method in which Krishna wins his point. Sometimes if we also sometimes win our point with some unconventional lie or a not a true thing. Like for example, let's say I was reading this book, Tamal Krishna Maharaj Diary, TKG Diary. And then in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was there, 1977. And Prabhupada would be visited by so many of his godbrothers and his friends from Vrindavan. So there was this person, Bhagatji, who would come to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would have a very hearty relationship and they would laugh together and joke. So Bhagatji told a nice story to Prabhupada. And it is relevant to this, so I just picked up that. Bhagatji said to Prabhupada that once there were two devotees living in Govardhan. One was Ramu and another was Shamu. So Ramu and Shamu, they were very nice devotees of Krishna. And they were pakka friends, they would come and discuss Krishna katha. However, Shamu had one anxiety about Ramu. The anxiety was, Ramu was addicted to tea. He would often drink tea. So Shamu would have become very morose and think more often that how I can remove this tea from his life. Because he knew that Ramu is a very excellent devotee, very exalted devotee. And then soon, when he will leave body, he will go back to Godhead. But then this tea is coming between him and back to Godhead. So I should do something. So Bhagatji told Prabhupada that one day Shamu came in the morning to meet Ramu. So Shamu, when he came in the morning, Shamu was very morose, very sad. So Ramu asked, "What happened? Why you are morose?" So Shamu said, "Yesterday night I saw a dream." So Ramu said, "Yeah, you saw a dream. Was it a ghostly dream or ghastly dream, something terrific?" He said, No, I saw a dream of Krishna." So Ramu said, "Hey, you saw a dream of Krishna? And why are you morose then? Tell me what happened in the dream." So Shamu said, "Actually Krishna came in the dream and he told me that both you, Shamu, and Ramu are going to come back to me, to the spiritual world." So Ramu became so happy. "Wow, what a dream. Why are you morose about it?" "Actually Krishna spoke this in a morose way, so I am also morose." "What made Krishna speak this in a morose way?" "So Krishna told me that when both of you come here, we will have nice pastimes here, we will enjoy fun here." But Krishna said in a sad tone, "But I am a little worried. How I am going to serve Ramu? In Golok Vrindavan there is no tea. So when he comes, I will not be able to provide him tea." So Ramu heard this. Ramu got his lesson and Ramu stopped drinking tea. So now this story can be called a cooked up story. Need not be Krishna coming in a dream. But nonetheless, the result is bona fide. Ramu gave up his tea, which was between him and Krishna. So sometimes as devotees, we use unconventional method to drive a point which is spiritual, which is Shastri. So here we see Krishna is also using an unconventional philosophy of Karma Mimamsa and atheistic Sankhya philosophy to prove what a very important purpose, and that purpose is going to come in the next verses as we go, where he is going to reveal or in one sense start a grand ceremony which is called as Govardhan Puja. And by doing so, what he is going to do? He is going to please the Brajavasis. So in one way he is stopping the Brajavasis to ultimately please the Brajavasis. Because in Govardhan Puja pastime, Krishna is going to reveal his wonderful pastimes. Under Govardhan, there is going to be revelation of all the five rasas. Devotees in all five rasas will exchange without any stoppage, reciprocation with Krishna for 7 days and seven nights. So Krishna is about to start a unique process, a leela, which will please his devotees. But for that he is using an unconventional method of speaking to philosophies which are not Vedic. That is Karma Mimamsa and the other is Atheistic Sankhya. So then, thus it makes very much sense that Krishna has used these philosophies. It was difficult for many devotees to speak on this purports and translation as their philosophy went for quite number of verses, you know. But Krishna is speaking a theory, and in the purport in between all the disciples of Prabhupada they speak, well, Krishna's point is very logic, but this point is not relevant as per Vedas. So they have to again, you know, in the purport warn the devotees who are reading. Otherwise the devotees will start following this philosophy of Karma Mimamsa. But anyway, the point is derived, the whole point is driven now, henceforth when you see the whole Leela, and this series of verses, some 10-15 maybe, it makes sense, because chapter after chapter there is worship of Govardhan Hill, which is very nectarian. So Krishna can use some unconventional method to prove his point. That is the whole idea. So someone may ask that how can Krishna use this unconventional method to trick? Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should not cheat. He should not trick. Well, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore he can trick and therefore he can cheat. That is the point. Srila Prabhupada once said, if you say God cannot do certain things, that means he is not God. God has to do everything. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, we have this beautiful verse in the 10th chapter, 36th verse. Dyutam chalayatam asmi tejas tejas vinamaham. And translation mentions Krishna saying to Arjuna, I am also the gambling of cheats. And of splendid, I am the splendor. And Srila Prabhupada says in a beautiful purport, there are many kinds of cheater all over the universe. Of all cheating processes, gambling stands supreme and therefore represents Krishna. We'll read on. As the supreme, Krishna can be more deceitful than any mere man, Prabhupada says. Now this is very important. If Krishna chooses to deceive a person, no one can surpass him in his deceit. His greatness is not simply one-sided, it is all-sided. So in this way, Prabhupada drives the point that if Krishna wants to cheat, he will do in a royal style. He will cheat whom? He will cheat the best of devotees, Vrajavasis, and he will cheat whom? The best of demigods, Indra. That's cheating of Krishna. So Krishna is perfect, he can do everything. All contradictions get resolved in Krishna. Krishna can do everything. Like one time, a conversation was going on between Akbar and Birbal. So Akbar asked a question to Birbal, what is the difference between me and God? So Birbal told Akbar that, yes, there is a difference. There is one thing which you can do, but God can't do. So Akbar became very happy. I can do something which is better than God, you know. So he asked Birbal, what I can do and what God can do? Can't do. He said, if you decide to banish someone from your kingdom, you can do that. But God, if he decides to banish someone from his kingdom, he can't do that. Akbar realized. The fun was, the whole kingdom is Krishna's kingdom. Where a person will go out of Krishna's kingdom? So Krishna cannot banish. So such contradictions are resolved in Krishna. Like one time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, can Krishna create something which he cannot lift? So Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna can create something which he cannot lift, and after 5 minutes he can lift. That is Krishna. So all contradictions get resolved in Krishna, and therefore Krishna is not just a cheat or a trickster. He is transcendentally all-powerful cheat. Once he decides to deceive someone, no one can escape him. So you find here that Krishna in this way is a transcendental trickster. But his cheating has a purpose. And that purpose is not a material purpose, it's a transcendental purpose. Like for example, we find Krishna cheating so many people. As Lord Vamanadev, he came and cheated Bali Maharaj. Now when Bali Maharaj was asked by Vamanadev for 3 steps of land, Vamanadev did not know who this person is. A small dwarf brahmana. But as soon as the dwarf brahmana expanded his size, then Bali immediately understood, confirmed he understood that this is Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is expanding his size, and with 2 of his legs he has covered entire property which I was owning. But still, Bali Maharaj did not consider Lord Vamana as cheater. You know why? Because Prabhupada says in one of his lectures that Bali Maharaj thought that Vaman Dev is doing his cheating for whom? For his great devotee Indra. Again Indra has come here. So for Indra, Vaman Dev cheated Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj took it positively. And then he thought that he may be cheating for his devotees, but I can't cheat him. I have already given him 3 steps and he has covered 2 steps. Now he is waiting for a third. So then he told Vaman Dev that you have taken everything from me except me. So you take me also. Now you put your 3rd step on my head. So Krishna cheated, Vamandev cheated Bali Maharaj, and the purpose was to glorify Bali Maharaj. Similarly, in Matsya Avatar, Lord came as a fish to trick Satyavrat Maharaj. So he was taking bath in Damraparani, in Kritamala river, and then immediately what happened? In his hand came the small fish. And then the fish told immediately to the king that, please don't leave me in the water, otherwise big fish will swallow me. So they took the fish to his own tank in the palace and left the fish in the tank. And immediately the fish expanded. And he said, well, this place is very small for me. Give me more place. And then you find the whole pastime of how ultimately when he was released in the ocean, he covered the whole ocean also. And then he revealed his pastime that soon there is going to be a devastation and Satyavrat Maharaj, you and your wife and all the great rishis should come and there will be a boat which comes and you all sit in the boat and I will personally drive your boat across the Bhavasagar, this Pralaya Sagar. So Krishna tricked the king to glorify the king. So in this way Krishna tricks many ways. Prabhupada says, as Lord Buddha, Krishna again tricked the general populace. The general populace were all engaged in doing, in the name of religion, mass slaughterhouse was opened. Shavantu was mentioning in one of his class that actually when you go to temple, you see that there is regular abhishek of the deities and from the side there is a small outlet from which the milk or water is dripping out. But that time, massive slaughterhouse temples were having blood continuously flowing from that hole. So we cannot even imagine. Right now we have statistics about so much of cow killing and mass animal killing is going on. But that time, now Buddha is not coming today because the situation is not so much that Buddha has to come now. But Buddha came that time. Krishna came as Buddha means it was really worst. So what Buddha did, he tricked people. He said, well, don't follow Vedas. Don't believe in God. Shunyavad philosophy. So he tricked all of them and the whole general population got fully tricked and finally Buddha made them worship him. So Prabhupada said Buddha tricked them not to worship God, but finally they were worshipping whom? Buddha, who is God. So that is Krishna's tricking. So in this way, Krishna tricks. And just like Krishna is a transcendental trickster, to get his transcendental purpose done, we find devotees, pure devotees of Krishna, they also transcendentally trick. Like in the purport of Dhritarashtra leaves home, when Yudhishthira Maharaj and Sanjay, they are discussing why Dhritarashtra is left without informing. Vidura has taken him. So that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj, I guess, or Sanjay, he is saying that, you know, that Dhritarashtra has cheated me. Or Vidura has cheated me. So Prabhupada says in the purport that great souls cheat for a great purpose. So pure devotees also cheat, pure devotees also trick, but for a greater purpose. One time one devotee met Srila Prabhupada in India. He was a foreigner. So he came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I don't like Indians. So Prabhupada said, I am also Indian. No, Prabhupada, I like you. I don't like Indians because all these Indians are very tricksters. So Prabhupada said, but I am also a trickster. No, Prabhupada, how can you be a trickster? Prabhupada said, yes, I am a trickster. If I came to your country, and if I didn't have tricked you to become a devotee, you would not become a devotee. So actually I tricked you. And the devotee agreed, yes, Prabhupada has tricked us. Like Prabhupada would mention many times that, you know, if the American government knew why I am coming to America, they would have never allowed me to come to America. So I came, so Prabhupada said, we came like a needle, went in like a needle and came out like a plow. This is called a trick, a preaching strategy. So Prabhupada also, in the line of Krishna, also was a transcendental trickster, because unless he tricked people, they would not become devotees. So Prabhupada did not tell them all the 4 principles. Prabhupada did not tell them chanting. Prabhupada gave them prasad. And we are following the same parampara. We first begin with prasad, not much philosophy, prasad, kirtan. And slowly, slowly, then devotees, people become devotees, they get hooked to chanting also. So in this way, Krishna perfectly tricks, and so his devotees also trick. In one of his lectures, Srila Prabhupada mentions that through this Indra Puja episode, Prabhupada says that Krishna preached this to philosophy of karma mimamsa and atheistic sankhya, not actually to trick Vrajavasis, Prabhupada says, but to actually teach Indra a nice lesson. And Prabhupada says that when Krishna came to this material world to enact his pastime, Krishna had already proclaimed, I am going to come, to the very demigods who had come for help. So now Krishna was coming to this world, already proclaimed that he is going to come. But when he came, they never thought that Krishna will come in such a style, because Krishna came in a cowherd community and became a cowherd boy, which was very difficult to digest for many demigods, which was very bewildering, because many things Krishna was doing, non-conventional things, which as Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would not do in Vaikuntha. He would not do in Aishwarya Roop. So many times it was very bewildering. So therefore Indra thought, how can he be my God? He's a cowherd boy. He's running after cows. And see how he gets defeated by his own friends. And how he's stealing butter. How he's cheating and how he's lying. He cannot be my God. So Indra got into speculation, thinking that Krishna is not God. So Indra said, he is not God. Brahma also got into that confusion. Lord Brahma said, he is not God. And therefore, Brahmaji tested Krishna. And then Brahmaji also learned his lesson. So you find here, Indra, because of his pride of being the ruler of heaven, he got into that speculation, thinking that actually he is God, but by his activities I cannot recognize him as God. Therefore he is not God. So Indra thought Krishna is not God. The Brajavasis also thought Krishna is not God. But the difference was, Indra was thinking out of pride that Krishna is not God. Brajavasis were thinking out of love, Krishna is not God. And therefore, when Krishna is not God, when Indra did that mistake, he was taught a very big lesson. But when Brajavasis think Krishna is not God, Krishna does not teach them a lesson. Like a nice pastime happens in Vrindavan, just before Govardhan Leela. This is very close, this place is very close to Govardhan, called as Paitha. We may go in our yatra to this place, Hare Krishna. So this Paitha place is a very close place from Govardhan, where we are having our pandal. So it is mentioned that there in Paitha, when Indra was doing his varsha, heavy downpour of rainfall, and all the Vrajavasis came to seek help from Krishna. So Krishna said, don't worry, I'll pick up Govardhan. So all the gopas and gopis laughed, and they asked Krishna, how you can do it? He said, what's wrong? I can do it easily in one hand. He said, we don't believe it. We don't believe that you can do it. So here also they are not believing in Krishna. So Krishna said, what should I do? He said, you show your strength. Otherwise you lift and then it will fall off your hand, it will have problems for us. So Krishna had to show his strength before he lifted this place, Govardhan. So Paitha is the place from where Krishna lifted Govardhan. Of course, now Govardhan has shrunk, so Govardhan is very far from Paitha. You can see Govardhan from there, but you can't. It was not the middle part of Govardhan. So Krishna had to demonstrate his strength. And all the gopis told Krishna that if you are really very strong, this tree is there, Kadamba tree. Try to twist the tree. So Krishna went and he twisted the Kadamba tree. So that tree is still today there present. It is not alive, but they have stored the tree in a glass casket. And that tree has got its name Aita Kadam. Aita means twisted. So Aita Liya. And because of Aita, it became Paitha, that place. So Vrajavasis are doubting on Krishna. But Krishna is not teaching them a lesson, because it is out of love. But for Indra, Krishna is teaching a very heavy lesson, so that Indra will never forget in his life. So in this way, Krishna defeats Indra by these two philosophies. Also, Krishna defeats Vrajavasis by these two philosophies. But he is defeating Indra is to smash his pride, and Krishna defeating Vrajavasis is out of love. In fact, Vrajavasis don't require these two philosophies to get convinced, because they are there to just please Krishna. But these two philosophies primarily used for Indra, who is a follower of Vedic tradition, and Krishna, who as per him is not God, and to put more kind of, you know, it's called jale pe namak, something like that, you know. He is putting takes two non-Vedic philosophy to prove Indra further that you can't do anything to me. So this is Krishna's wonderful plan of defeating his devotees. So Krishna defeats Indra, also Krishna defeats Vrajavasis. So there is a wonderful relationship which goes on between Krishna and his devotees. In the case of Indra, when he is being defeated, what happens? Indra retaliates. Is it not? Now we will see the retaliation of Indra. Indra becomes disturbed. He sends Samvartaka crowd. But when Vrajavasis are defeated, what happens? Vrajavasis becomes happy. Because ultimately Krishna has to be happy. So this is the difference between a pure devotee of the Lord and a devotee who is mixed devotee. So Indra represents a mixed devotee and Vrajavasis are pure devotees. So Krishna defeats his pure devotees, Vrajavasis, out of love. And to defeat Krishna, his pure devotees out of love, he uses non-conventional methods. It is mentioned in scriptures that Krishna and his devotees always have competition. Who will defeat whom out of love? There's a bhajan which says, I don't remember who sang this, but Dui Lage Hula Huli. Dui means two, the two parties, Krishna and his devotees, they're always having a tug-of-war to prove who's the greatest. So Krishna, he defeats his devotees, and many times Krishna gets defeated by his devotees. But in both of these styles, the purpose of Krishna defeating and getting defeated is to please his devotees. Similarly, for devotees, when they get defeated by Krishna or when they defeat Krishna, the purpose is to please Krishna. So that is a wonderful defeat game between Krishna and his devotees. So Krishna is, in a non-conventional method, arranging these philosophies so that now he is going to please his Vaishnava, his devotees, and he is going to lift the Govardhan hill for 7 days and seven nights to have 24 hours into 7 days non-stop reciprocation with his devotees, who always wanted and yearned that they wanted to be with Krishna always. So he is going to have that pastime. And through that pastime, he is going to open a new festival for the rest of humanity to celebrate. Even today we are celebrating Annakut. And it's a very wonderful festival. Among all festivals, it stands unique because everything is unlimited that day. Prasad is also unlimited. Everything is unlimited. And Katha is also unlimited because a big Katha, to speak the whole Katha in small short time is difficult. So everything is unlimited. So Annakut is a very well-known festival. So Krishna starts his Annakut festival by defeating his devotee in a non-conventional style. So now we'll in the end take up some examples from scriptures and from other places where Krishna gets defeated by his devotees and then he accepts non-conventional, unconventional worship, which as per Vedas it should not be done. So Krishna uses non-conventional method to defeat his devotees, and similarly by getting defeated by his devotee he takes up non-conventional method. So Krishna is very reciprocal and he does both sides. Now the example which is given in this sense where Krishna is using a non-conventional method of worshipping or rather serving his devotees when Krishna was in Hastinapur. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was about to do this Rajasuya Yagya. So all of the people who were in Yudhishthir Maharaj's palace, they had taken some task in the great Rajasuya Yagya. Some task of receiving guests or doing something, a part of the ceremony. Now Krishna did an unconventional service. He took up the task of washing the feet of all the guests who came to the Rajasuya Yagya of Yudhishthir Maharaj. So to please Yudhishthir Maharaj, Krishna took up non-conventional method. Not only that, I also heard that Krishna used to even lift the plates, the leaf cups, which would remain after they would eaten, all the guests would eat. He would pick up those and throw in the dustbin. So it's unconventional. Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been served by so many Lakshmis, he's taking up a task of picking up garbage. which is unconventional. Who will think Krishna can do like that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he does, being defeated by the love of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Similarly, defeated by the love of Arjuna, Krishna becomes his chariot driver. Now, when Krishna becomes the chariot driver is not a very conventional role, which is a good role. No, it may be good now, you know, to become a chauffeur in some big movie star or a big industrialist car. You may get paid more also. But charioteer in the Vedic tradition was charioteer, that's all. Not a good occupation. Not a decent kind of very well-known occupation. So Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna. And as charioteer, Krishna's seat was lower than Arjuna's seat. So he took that lower seat. And then as we heard many times, that because there was so much of fighting going on in the battle of Kurukshetra, there was so much of sound. So many times Arjuna wanted to take a right or take a left. And then he could not speak to Krishna because he was very busy fighting. Plus speaking would not reach Krishna because it was such a tumultuous sound. So the non-conventional method of a person who is having a chariot to convey the signal to the chariot driver is to hit the chariot driver by feet. If you hit the chariot driver by feet on the right side of the driver, then driver understands, okay, now I will take a right or now I will take a left. So in this case, Krishna took the task of a chariot driver to get kicked from his devotee Arjuna. Again, a non-conventional method. So Krishna in this way, through Shastras, through so many places we find Krishna is doing so many non-conventional things just to get his, because he is defeated by the love of his devotees. In the Ramayana and Ramlila we find the beautiful history of Shabari. So it is mentioned that Shabari, she was born in a very low caste. She was from Shabara family, the family who would raise pigs. We know Shabara from the Jagannath Lila pastimes. So she was from that race, and one day she saw many animals are lined up outside the house. And she asked, she was a young lady that time, she asked, why are animals are lined up? She said, tomorrow you are getting married. Tomorrow all these animals will be sacrificed for the feast which you are going to cook for all the people who come to attend your marriage. So she became very disturbed. For my pleasure, so many animals sacrificed. And that very night she left the home. And she escaped. And she came, she was going here and there, and finally she came to this place. And she came to this Matanga Rishi's ashram. And then she took shelter of Matanga Rishi. Now Matanga Rishi was a very self-realized soul. So he could understand from the heart of, from seeing Shabari, that she is actually a very great devotee. Therefore, he accepted her. In fact, because he accepted her, all the different Rishi Muni staying in different other ashrams around him, they objected. How can you take someone who is not qualified to stay in your ashram? So they objected and they went against Matanga Rishi. But Matanga Rishi, knowing the qualification of Shabari, did not mind anything and he kept Shabari in the ashram. Because of which Matanga Rishi's relationship with other rishis and munis became a little difficult. But Matanga Rishi understood the purpose of his doing that activity. And then Matanga Rishi also knew the future of Shabari, that she is the one who is going to serve Lord Ram. So therefore he was serving Shabari in one way. So then finally Matanga Rishi and all of his inmates in the ashram, they all went back to Godhead together. They left Shabari behind. Shabari said, why not me? What's wrong? He said, oh, you have to do a very important task. After many years, Lord Ram will come here. And you have to show direction to Lord Ram. So you sit here in the ashram. And then he will come. Now when he will come, date, day, no, not mentioned. Which year, where is he now? No GPS. Tracking Ram, where is he? It's going to be year, or it's going to be years, or decades, or centuries, or ages. But Shabari every day meticulously would clean the ashram, keep the ashram very clean, hoping that day Lord Ram would come. It happened so. It is mentioned that when Lord Ram came to that area, Lord Ram did not visit any other ashram. Directly went to Shabari's ashram. And when Lord Ram went to Shabari's ashram, Shabari was so happy, she could not even believe that actually Lord Ram has come now. So it took some time for her to realize. Then finally she made Lord Ram sit. She was so ecstatically happy. Then she was thinking, what should I do? What should I bring? So she bought some, what we got to call in English, berries, bear. She got that those berries and bear. And then she was about to feed Lord Ram. And then she was thinking that sometimes berries are very sour. So maybe I should, how I can offer the sweetest of all berries to Lord Ram. So she had no other method but to taste first. So without thinking much, so much of devotion she had, she tasted a berry and said, Lord Ram, this is very sweet, take it. And she took the next one. Lord Ram, this is sour, don't take this. So in this way she was feeding Lord Ram. And Lord Ram, who is Maryada Purushottam, who is worshipped with all adoration, worship, and great Brahmanas standing in line to worship him in a proper Vedic style, he is accepting offering. What offering? Where there is no bell, there is no achman, there is no purification. A old lady who is coming from untouchable caste, she is eating that bear and she is offering to Ram, and Lord Ram accepts it. So Lord Ram gets defeated by Shabri's love, and therefore he takes up this unconventional method of worship, which he never takes as per the Vedas. So in this style, Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, he gets defeated. We have a nice story from Jagannath Puri. In Jagannath Puri, there used to be a devotee. She was a Maharashtrian, but she was staying in Jagannath Puri. And her name was Karma Bai. She was a very poor lady. But she had a lot of love for Lord Jagannath. And because she was not educated, she was not trained in Vedic habits, she had an unconventional way of worshipping Jagannath. In the morning, as soon as she would get up, without taking bath, without cleaning herself, she would cook khichdi and offer it to Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath would personally come from Jagannath Puri temple to her house and eat the khichdi. So this happened for a long time. So there was one sadhu who was also a very great soul. He happened to come by, and then he saw that this lady, without taking bath, is cooking something. He said, what are you cooking? He said, I am cooking khichdi. Khichdi? For whom? Not Jagannath. So he became upset and then taught her all the rules and regulations. How you should cooking for the God, you should first broom your house, then you take a bath, and after that you get ready, prepare all the ingredients, then cook, and then you offer to God. Not like that, you know, dirty, unclean, offer it to Jagannath. So this Karma Bai, first time came to her, know in her life that she is supposed to be more clean and all that thing. So next day onwards, she started doing the whole thing what Sadhu said, you know. She cleaned the house, she took bath. Meanwhile, Jagannath was waiting there, you know, in the house. Because time was already going out. The khichdi time was morning, and she was cleaning the house and taking bath. And that got delayed. Khichdi got delayed. So Jagannath was upset. Why are you delaying? So no, Sadhu told me that I am supposed to first take bath and then... So Jagannath became so upset. Jagannath came in a dream of Sadhu and chastised him. All your rules and regulations are bogus. Because of which my khichdi is getting delayed. So Lord Jagannath then chastised him, and Sadhu went and offered obeisance to Karma Bai, because he came to know that she is a very great soul. And then Lord Jagannath made Karma Bai to again restart the same thing. Not to take bath, and immediately after getting up, cook khichdi and serve Lord Jagannath. So even today also in Jagannath temple, they have this Karma Bai's khichdi as one ingredient, one menu in the Jagannath Chappan Bhoga. So this is again a non-conventional method which Krishna takes just to get defeated by his devotee's love. So you find so many places in Shastra where Krishna is taking some unconventional ways of worship just because he just gets defeated by his devotee's love. So we'll end here with one small wonderful story. One time one devotee had come from Barsana, and Maharaj was speaking a lecture here. So he also was sitting, and he gave a wonderful story about this nice saintly person. And this person's name is Sadhan Kasai. Sadhan Kasai means he was a butcher actually. Kasai means butcher. But his name was Sadhan. Because he was very much absorbed in sadhan and bhajan. So his name was Sadhan. But because the occupation was Kasai, Sadhan Kasai. So Sadhan Kasai, he was not actually a butcher in one sense. Because he was like a retailer, not a wholesaler. He would not actually kill the animals. But a killed animal's meat would come, and then he would chop it and then he would sell it. But still he was selling meat. That was his occupation, which he had got from his father. So what happened is, because he was a great devotee, he would chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he would chant the holy names of Krishna, and then he would chop his meat, and then he would sell his meat. So this was the way he would do his devotional service. He was very pure from inside. He had no other motives. So one time, he got one stone. So he saw a stone. He found a stone very nice. He thought, I will use this stone as a weighing as a weighing stone for my business. That stone was Shaligram Shila. So he would keep on one pan meat and the other pan Shaligram Shila. And he was very happy with the stone because the stone was magical stone for him. Because actually Lord himself had come as Shaligram Shila to him because Lord was very pleased by his Harinam, his chanting. So Lord came, so Lord took the entire business in his hands. In what sense? Lord saw that no other weighing stone should be in his shop apart from me as Shaligram Shila. So whenever he would have to sell 1 kilo of meat, whenever Sadhan Kosai would keep the Shaligram Shila on this other weighing pin, and it would become 1 kilo. And then he would weigh 1 kilo and give it. Next time someone wanted 1/2 kilo, so he would keep Shaligram Shila would become 1/2 kilo. And then he would sell the meat. So he was very happy. Oh, magical stone is there. I don't have to keep extra weights. Just one weight, any kilo, you know. And the meat is sold. But non-stop, without fail, he would do in chanting. Harinam. And he would immerse. He would not even remember what he is doing. He would be immersed in chanting. The same way, just like Karmabai's case, one Vaishnava was walking by and he heard these beautiful glories of the holy name, so divinely sung. So he got attracted. But then he got attracted, he saw, oh, where am I getting attracted? This is a butcher shop. But then he saw the butcher is, you know, chanting holy name. So he became very amazed. Hey, how come you're chanting? Your profession here, chanting does not match. He said, this is profession because my father has told me to do, so I am doing it. I know I cannot go anywhere else. So, but I am chanting because I like to chant. So then he saw this Shaligram Shila as a weighing stone. So he became so upset. He said, and chastising, what is this? You are using Shaligram Shila as a weighing stone? This is not good. And he chastised him left and right. He went to the market, bought some weighing stones and gave him, use this. And then he took the Shaligram Shila. And with great prayers, he told Shaligram Shila that, oh Lord, please forgive this man. He does not know what he is doing. I will take you. I will worship you nicely. So he took the Shaligram Shila in his house. And then he was thinking, for the first time, Shaligram Shila will get nice worship now. Otherwise, what is meat? You know, meat worship. So that day he offered Panchamrit Abhishek to Shaligram Shila. Then he offered all kinds of scented oils, perfect worship, chanted all mantras. And after that, he was thinking, now Shaligram Shila will be very much pleased that now he has come in my hands and offering him perfect worship. However, Lord as Shaligram Shila was completely upset because of the change of hands. And then Lord came in his dream the night and told him, you foolish person, you are thinking that your Panchamrit is actually very much liked by me, but actually I am feeling bored in your association. You are offering all those tantras, mantras and all those things, which is very boring for me. The only thing which I lack is the chanting of the holy name, which is done by Sadhan Kasai. So take me back to him. Because he is a very great soul, great pure devotee. You may not understand him from outside, but I like his chanting. That place is best for me. So then he got confused, but he had to take it. So he gave Shaligram Shila back to the Sadhan Kasai, who was chanting. And then Lord, as Shaligram Shila had told this Adu, this devotee, that the one thing which I liked in the entire world is someone chants my glories. And you may be doing all pujas and vidhis, but chanting is very much that thing which I like, which gives more pleasure to me, apart from all the pujas and vidhis. And because Sadhan Kasa is very well known, or rather very expert, or very devotional in his chanting. So I don't care where he is, I like to hear his chanting. In fact, I am not in Vaikuntha. I am not in any place, not in yogi's heart, but I will definitely, you will find me in Sadhan Kasai's shop, butcher's shop. So, the scriptures mentioned that in the previous life, Sadhan Kasai was a great devotee. And he was born in Brahmana's family. And he used to worship the same Shaligram Shila. And what happened is, Sadhan Kasai, he was very truthful. And he would never speak lie for any matter. But because of this too much truthful nature, he actually landed up in problem. So one time, Sadhan Kasai was walking on the street, somewhere in the forest actually. And then he saw a cow running from the opposite direction. The cow was actually running out of fear. And the cow turned right and went away. And behind the cow, later, one butcher was coming, running. And he wanted to kill the cow. So he just came and asked, where is the cow? So now this person, Sadhan Kasai, in his last life, he was thinking, what should I say? Should I say yes? Or should I say no? And I was thinking, but whole life I never spoke lies. If I say, yes, yes, he has gone in that direction, he will kill the cow. But if I don't say that, if I say that other direction he has gone, cow has gone, then I will speak a lie, which will break my own moral principles. So he was caught up in a jumble, and then he thought, okay, I'll just indicate, I will not speak. So he indicated the right path. And the butcher ran after the cow and killed the cow. And because he was also part of that killing, it was mentioned, it was a sin which he got, and because of that, a great devotee like Sadhan Kasai's previous life had to become butcher. So sometimes in devotional life, devotees have to undergo such situations. Chitraketu Mahara underwent such a situation. He was about to go back to Gorid, and suddenly occurs a Parvati Devi, and he became a demon, Vritrasur. But as demon also, he was a great devotee. So devotees don't change, the position may change, but devotees remain as devotees. So Sadhan Kasai had become now a butcher. But Krishna did not forget him. The same Shaligram Shila came back to Sadhan Kasai in his meat shop and stayed in his meat shop to accept his worship. Because Shaligram Shila liked the chanting of the holy names which was uttered by Sadhan Kasai. So in this way we can see that how Krishna is really very unconventional in his presentation of philosophies, if he wants to drive a point, to defeat his devotees, to defeat Indra's pride. And also he takes up unconventional methods of getting defeated by his devotees. So since some time is remaining, I thought I'll speak something on a very important event which is happening nowadays. It's the World Holy Name Week. I was told by devotees to speak on that also. So for this 1 week which is going on, all over the world, devotees are coming together to celebrate World Holy Name Week. And we have got the news that many devotees have arranged Harinam programs. All over the world, devotees are doing Harinams on the streets. In fact, just some days back, all the 4 temples of Bombay came together and they decided to have Harinam programs. So I think today Harinam is in Khargar temple. Coming Saturday at 5 o'clock in the evening, we have Harinam in Chopadi temple. And Sunday will be Maha Harinam, where all 4 temples will come at Iskon Juhu at 5 o'clock in the evening. And we'll have major Harinam and we'll go on Chuhu Beach. And so devotees can participate in this program. So devotees are arranging Harinam programs, and devotees are also arranging Kirtan programs in their locality, in their houses. And just last week on disappearance of Haridas Thakur, Bhaktivedanta Hospital arranged a 12-hour Kirtan festival. So in this way devotees are arranging Kirtan programs to glorify the holy name. Then devotees are also arranging Japa marathons. We're doing chanting more around 16, 32, 64, 192 rounds, and they're chanting just to please Krishna. So Japa marathon, and then so devotees can come together in their counseling meetings, on their mentee meeting, or maybe they can have a discussion among themselves, around neighbors can come together, and they can have holy name discussion. In the local programs, they can have one program dedicated to holy name. So this way we can come, and the whole aspect is to spread the glories of the holy name, and also to become more aware of the glories of the holy name ourselves, which is very important actually. Because it may happen that as time goes on and we are doing the same Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna like this, we may take Hare Krishna also very cheaply. Like one time one devotee, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Rameshwar Swami, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he had a question, he had just heard Prabhupada's lecture on Ajamil episode. So he was thinking that really this holy name is so powerful that Ajamil got cleared from all of his sins just by chanting once. And then Bhagavata mentions that even jokingly also chant, all your sins will go away. So he had a doubt that can really holy name be so powerful. So he went to Prabhupada. So they were driving actually, and he asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, we hear from Ajamil episode that holy name is so powerful. Is it really so powerful? What do you think, Prabhupada? So Prabhupada was driving and Prabhupada was in a relaxed mood. So Prabhupada was keeping his head on the sofa. Prabhupada closed his eyes and smiled. And Prabhupada said, yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very cheap in Kali Yuga. So you could understand, the question was, is holy name so powerful? And Prabhupada is saying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made holy name very cheap in Kali Yuga. And then he made 1 and 1, 2, and he understood. Actually, holy name is so powerful, which is not easily available. But in the age of Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given it very cheaply. And because it is so cheap, we may think, is really holy name powerful? Because it is so easily available. So therefore, that is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that it is so easily available for anyone. And Prabhupada said, even dog can take part. Even a child can take part. Anyone can take part in the process of chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have a nice opportunity, and we can take this opportunity very nicely. We can discuss about the holy name, chant holy name. We can improve quantity and also quality of the holy name during this week. It's very important. Actually, one devotee asked Radhanath Maharaj this question, that sometimes we increase our devotional service, quality or quantity, both ways. So he asked Maharaj that when we chant more, is that our the anarthas which are in our heart, they get reduced? It is like that. So Maharaj gave a very powerful example. Maharaj said that if you have an ocean in front of you and you decide one day to remove 3 tanker loads of water from the ocean, what will happen? Will the ocean get dry? So he thought, no, ocean will not get dry. He said, yes. Sometimes chanting 16 rounds, sometimes 32 rounds, 192 rounds may chant. All our attempts are like 1 tanker, 3 tanker, 4 tankers. Can our tanker remove the water from that ocean? It is not possible. So Maharaj mentioned this point that actually our endeavor cannot bring any purification. Because the mighty project which we have in our life of cleaning our heart, which is like beyond us. But then he told, but actually when we are doing this, we are attempting to please Krishna. Our only attempt is when we are doing it, Krishna may see me, endeavoring. That is very important. And Maharaj gave another example that sometimes you have to go in a house and you knock the door. So the person may come little late to open the door. But if you are very desperate to keep knocking loudly, banging, then the person has to leave everything and come. So Krishna is also every day hearing our knocks, chanting knocks, our reading knocks. But someday we should do a little more knocking, which will make Krishna become serious about us. And then Krishna will give more of his mercy. So in this way, quantity and quality wise, we can improve our chanting, and then we can actually endeavor, and we can hope Krishna will watch us, and Krishna will take us seriously. Hare Krishna. So we have some time, we can ask Gopinath Prabhu if we have some comments, can speak on this. Gopinath Prabhu was not supposed to be here. Otherwise he was supposed to give class. He told me he is not available actually. So he tricked me today. One speak for me. Okay. Any comments, any questions anyone has got? We have one question, we can take one question and then we'll end the class. Jagdish Shari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your nice presentation.
Thank you very much.
Prabhu, actually there was a doubt. Like in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we see the Karma Yoga, where Krishna explains Arjuna about how the cooperation between demigods and human being brings the prosperity for the human beings, and like the sacrifice which human beings are doing, it's ultimately like they have to please demigods. But there it is said Karma Yoga, but we see in this incident, like in this case, Krishna is expounding his philosophy of Karma Mimamsa, at the same time is rejecting the principle of offering the sacrifice to the demigods.
Yeah, because Karma Mimamsa philosophy conclusion is supreme. God is not supreme. Karma Mimamsa philosophy is that you do your karma and you have to get your result. So it's not a Vedic philosophy. Karma Yoga is a Vedic philosophy where you depend on the supreme. You offer your results to the supreme, knowing the supreme is there. But Karma Mimamsa philosophy completely eradicates the supreme. Krishna told Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis that if you are doing your things right, Indra has to give you because he is in charge of a department. Just like when you go and pay rent, for example, if you have something to purchase from a shopkeeper, you go and pay, he has to pay you. So Krishna used that philosophy, which is a wrong philosophy, completely different from Karma Yoga, and which Karma Yoga's philosophy, as you told, that it doesn't have a supreme person in consideration. So God is never in consideration. And therefore it's a distorted philosophy. It is different from the Bhagavad Gita Karma Yoga. Completely different. Karma Yoga is part of yoga ladder, but there is nothing to do with the yoga ladder. What was the question you asked? Yeah, you have something more?
In the Karma Mimamsa, there is no concept of somebody higher than us. Yeah. Is it like that?
Yeah, it is all based
only
on karma.
Karma, yeah.
Your karma.
Okay.
Like for example, in one of the purport, disciples of Prabhupada mentions, this is very prevalent today, this philosophy. Karma hi puja hai. That is Karma Mimamsa philosophy. That means you do your karma. Or in Marathi they call prapancha. Yesterday I met a rickshaw driver who was arguing with me that you do prapancha, you do your own work and you don't have to worry. So I said, what is prapancha? First tell me that. I asked him. Your prapancha is to eat tobacco, your prapancha is to smoke, your prapancha is to drink wine. Is that prapancha? Prapancha means family life taking, but that also based on whom? Vedic principles. So for that Vedic principles you have to refer God. So that is a misconceived notion that people think karma hi puja hai. Like that. Okay? So land here. Thank you so much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.